I'm discussing a few topics with the MP for the Pontiac Winnemucca before the holiday season and also in view of some coming vaccination efforts. Will, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Jake, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, all in one sentence to your listeners. I know this is a bit of a crazy time of year, and with COVID, everyone's feeling a bit, this is a challenging time, but we're going to get through this.
Oh, I'm sure, yes, and there's some encouraging news as well coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. First, I want to talk to you about some news that's been going on in recent weeks about First Nations here in the Pontiac. Earlier this week, you sent us a press release on the implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I'd say to start, I mean, it's really important that our government tabled Bill C-15 to entrench the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. It's yet another measure that our government has taken to demonstrate our desire to be entirely on that path towards reconciliation. It's a bumpy path for sure, but Bill C-15 has been praised by all of the major Indigenous leaders across Canada. Our willingness to legislate it, and I should mention that we were in fact supportive of a bill that was brought in the previous parliament in our previous mandate by the NDP. We supported it then, and unfortunately it was blocked by the Conservative senators at that time, so we agreed, let's bring it forward in this parliament as a priority. And so we've done that in a very, very busy pandemic year, and I think that Canada's Indigenous peoples, whether First Nations, Métis, or Inuit, can be proud that we're in a country that has that is entrenching UNDRIP. Now, in relation to Pontiac, of course, I must say it's been a bit of a sad spectacle to see Mr. Fleury trying to usurp and to take the place of the Algonquin people in the Pontiac and in the Outaouais. I mean, the simple fact is that the Algonquin nation has its own voice. It has several communities, two of which, Rapid Lake and Kitigan-Zibi, which are in the federal riding of Pontiac and that I interact with regularly with their chiefs. And they have a tribal council on which all of the chiefs from all of the Ontario and Quebec Algonquin communities sit. And it's through that tribal council that they express themselves when they so choose. So, I mean, to have the Green Party sort of jumping on Mr. Fleury's misguided bandwagon, I thought was quite unfortunate. And frankly, I think the Green Party owes an apology to the Algonquin nation. But at the end of the day, I think what really counts is what happens as between nations. The Algonquin nation is a strong nation. We have good interactions with them. In fact, last January 2019, the federal government reached a $116 million settlement with the community of Kitigan-Zibi in relation to specific claims that they had been bringing forward. I mean, that's the nature of the nation-to-nation relationship. It's respectful, it's serious, and it's real. It's not about political grandstanding, and that's a good thing. So is the tabling of Bill C-15 in relation to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. UNDRIP is serious legislation. We have tabled it, and it has been applauded by all of the major national Indigenous organizations in Canada.
So, yeah, now we'll go back to the vaccination efforts that we were talking about at the beginning. The arrival of vaccines in the country has been announced. We talked about a first round of vaccinations. What should the public know?
Well, I mean, I think the public understands already that we have reached a critical point, which is so positive. I mean, the first approval of a vaccine by Health Canada. What that means is that pursuant to a very intense and ongoing process that has been involved thousands and thousands of hours of Canada's top experts, they've determined that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is safe and secure for use. And because our government, over the course of the past several months, negotiated access to ensure that we would be able to get this vaccine once it was ready and once it was approved, we're now able to start distributing that, and that distribution will start on next week. that is good news. But it's not the only good news that will come, of course. This is the first step of many. There are six other vaccine candidates that Canada has procured and that we now have access to if and when they are approved, whether it's the Moderna vaccine, which is still being evaluated by Health Canada, whether it's the AstraZeneca Oxford University vaccine candidate, which is being evaluated again by Health Canada, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, again being evaluated by Health Canada, and there are several others. There's a process. It's an intense and rigorous process that we always follow in Canada so that Canadians have confidence that when they're offered a vaccine by the provincial health services, that they know it's safe and they know it's secure. We've gone through that process in a fashion that has maximized the efficiency of the process, evaluating data on an ongoing basis instead of waiting for it all to be collected. Quite honestly, I'd like to thank the Health Canada officials, many of whom actually reside in the federal riding of Pontiac, some in Gatineau, some in the MRC des Collines. They have worked seven days on seven, 24 hours a day, doing overlapping shifts to make sure that the work is done well. Because at the end of the day, we know that Canadians have to have confidence in this vaccine. We need a critical mass of Canadians to take the vaccine, and we need to make sure that as many Canadians are protected through the vaccine so that we can develop overall immunity in Canada over the course of the coming months and years. So a major step forward. The first vaccine has been approved by Health Canada. The Canadian Armed Forces are bringing their logistics skills to the table. They are helping ensure that the distribution to each province is done securely, that is done safely, and done fairly. And the provinces, including Quebec, will start distributing the first vaccine next week. And this process will be ongoing as more vaccines. I think it's fair to say that the next vaccine on in line for approval seems to be the Moderna vaccine. If and when that's approved, yes, we will have a plan in place to distribute and to ensure that that Canadians, including the good people in the Pontiac, have access to it. So we're on track, and I think that this is a moment where we can say we're turning the corner. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And goodness me, we've been working so hard as a country. Canadians have really buckled down, have taken public health guidelines seriously. And it's going to be a tough Christmas, but I think we know that 2021 is looking a whole heck of a lot better than 2020.
Yeah, and like you mentioned as well, it's a major operation to distribute all the vaccines. How long do you think it will take to complete this vaccination effort?
Well, that's a good question, but a difficult one to answer. Part of the reason is because one can't presume or predict the approval by Health Canada of any particular vaccine until it actually happens. Because, as I said before, Health Canada is not going to cut any corners. The safety and security of Canadians is the top priority at all times. So, if a vaccine, for whatever reason, doesn't get an anticipated approval, then the distribution of that vaccine will be slowed down. However, as I said, we have procured access through very, very intense negotiations that have gone on over the past months. We've obtained access to over 429 million doses of the candidate vaccines. So we're in a position where no matter which ones succeed, Canadians will get access to those that get through the approval process. It's just difficult to predict the exact timing because the quantities of each vaccine that have been procured are different. And one can't predict, as I said, the timing of the Health Canada approval. But overall, I think Canadians can have confidence that the distribution of vaccines will accelerate over the course of the first quarter of 2021, and then that acceleration will only continue through the spring and into the summer. And my understanding is that our best experts, and I should say, at every point in time, our government has taken the advice of our National Vaccine Task Force, made up of Canada's top experts in a variety of fields that touch vaccines. We're taking their advice, and at every step of the way, whether it's in procurement, whether it's been in terms of distribution, whether it's in terms of logistics, and ongoing negotiations with companies that produce these vaccines, you know, we're going to be ready to do this as fast as possible and to make sure that Canadians are cared for.
And yeah, you said it, you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel in 2021, and that is coming soon. We're already halfway through the month of December. What could we look forward to from you in the House of Commons, or just in the House of Commons in general, in the new year?
Well, I don't think I've ever experienced a more intense period. So people can expect a lot more work on COVID. That is going to be our top focus. We will not solve the economic challenges that we face until we solve the health crisis. So number one focus, laser focus on COVID and on protecting families, workers, and businesses from the impacts of the health restrictions. We're going to keep working on that intensely. I would say, as Minister Freeland did in her fall economic statement last week, we're going to continue to work with our small businesses, supporting them through an augmented wage subsidy, which has now gone up to 75% and has been guaranteed until the end of June 2021. So small businesses in our region can have confidence that they are going to be able to move forward, that they're going to be able to continue to employ their workers. And we all know how important that is. I cannot count the number of small businesses from across the Pontiac who have given our office a call and said, "Will, this small business or this wage subsidy is what's keeping us going." So, you know, we're committed to continuing that. We're committed to making even more flexible the Canadian Emergency Bank Account measures that have been taken protect small businesses, again, giving them access to zero interest credit and up to $60,000, including $20,000 that is non-reimbursable if the amount is paid back in full by 2022. So we're being really clear that all of our efforts going forward are going to be focused on health and the economy. I think the public is well aware of the sheer level of federal support here. $8 out of every 10 that's being spent on COVID measures, whether it's the health aspect or the economic aspect, $8 out of $10 is coming from the government of Canada. So I think people are really clear, you know, who is bearing the burden. It's the federal government. The financial burden is being borne by the federal government. And that's because we don't want to see families fall down and businesses go bankrupt. We know that the shoulders of the federal government are broader than those of municipalities, than those of our small businesses. We can borrow cheaper, and we can pay back over a longer period of time at lower interest. So we're going to continue doing that, and I know that that's something that has broad public support in the Pontiac.
Hey, William, I must thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, and I wish you a happy holiday and look forward to hearing from you in 2021.
Well, Jake, that's very kind of you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. I did want to underline two opportunities for your listeners. One, next Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., I'm going to be inviting the Associate Finance Minister, Mona Fortier, onto Facebook Live on my Facebook page, which is Will Amos Pontiac. So Minister Fortier will be there to talk about everything related to the economy. So if you're a business person or someone interested in figuring out how the federal government's investing in a particular matter, that's a great opportunity to join us. So that's Tuesday at 5:30. And the other fun opportunity, this is a little more light and less political. For New Year's, I decided that I would have a bit of a fun New Year's Day Facebook Live show, again, on my Facebook page from 4 until about 6 o'clock. And we're going to invite a whole bunch of different folks on, just chatting about things that are positive, that are coming up, what people are looking forward to in 2021, really trying to just turn the page a bit and focus on that which is great. I'm sure there'll be a few more than a few folks from the Pontiac area who are involved. Obviously, it'd be great to have Chip FN join us. We welcome your participation. And if anyone in the Pontiac is interested in joining, they want to, it's pretty wide open. If someone wants to read a poem or play some music, we're open to chatting with anybody about how we can make that New Year's Day program on my Facebook page fun and a good occasion for everyone to watch.
Yeah, so there's two dates, the 15th of December and the 1st of January on your Facebook page, William M. Muss. So once again, thank you for taking the time, and we'll talk to you in 2021.
And to you too, Jake. Have a great day.